Welcome to Fuel, a NAVSE podcast for propelling your leadership journey. I'm Joe Mahalik, the Propel Leadership Development Program Manager. Propel strives to develop leaders who write, speak, and behave consistently with a heart of service. Each month, Fuel gives you up close and personal access to NAVSE thought leaders who have been there, done that, and are ready to tell their stories, ready to invest in you. So whether you're interested in learning what leading's all about or you've been a leader for years, we're all on an ongoing professional journey which requires fuel. In this episode of Fuel, we'll be hearing from Dr. Angie Lewis, Technical Director for Naval Surface Warfare Center, Crane Division. Leveraging more than 30 years of experience, she's been instrumental in establishing Crane Division University and has poured herself into ensuring that all Crane employees have ready access to leadership development courses. She's well-respected for her contributions to Southern Indiana organizations, such as the American Society of Naval Engineers, the Hoosier Hills Chapter of Federally Employed Women, and the Boys and Girls Club of Lawrence County. Her story promises to inspire you as you continue on your own learning journey. Angie, I really want to thank you for meeting with me today. As you know, the Propel program is really about reaching out and investing in leaders, new leaders, ongoing leadership. And you've been doing this for a while. And I'm really interested to hear some of the things that you're very passionate about, a little bit about your story, and maybe some thoughts you have for people that are coming up.
Thanks, Joe, for having me today. I'm glad to be here with you. When I think about my passion for leadership and how that developed over my career here at NSWC Crane, I think back to experiences that I had as a young employee and in the early phases of my career, things that maybe I didn't handle that well, or areas that I wasn't sure how to navigate or how to move forward. And at the time that I got involved with my first leadership development program and really started to understand some of how my own actions and my own behaviors were leading to the types of results that I was getting. And when I really become a lot more aware of outcomes that I think resulted from my approach to work, that's when my passion for leadership development really took off. So what I would say about that, there was a time where I interviewed for a position. When I was not selected, my natural inclination was to say, bad decision, somebody on the panel must not have liked me, or the selecting official didn't really know who would be best for the job. I really took it very personally, and it was quite some time beyond that selection before I realized that I needed to look in the mirror and figure out, well, what were the things that I did and what might I have done differently to get a different result? And so that happened when I went through a 360-degree survey tool, and I got feedback from different people in the organization at different levels, and I realized that my actions and my behaviors are perceived differently from people who have different roles in the organization, also who operate at different levels in the organization, or that have more or less experience and interaction with me. That was quite a learning experience for me personally.
What I'm pulling from that is that by becoming a little bit more self-aware, you had to think more intentionally about how you were presenting yourself as a leader. Is that similar?
That definitely happened. And I realized that in getting that kind of feedback as a part of that program, that self-awareness is such a powerful tool. When you understand how others think and what's important to them and the agendas and priorities that they have, then you can sort of tailor your actions or your behaviors, or you can choose not to and understand maybe what the consequences or the results might be. So that was something that happened early in my career. And then I really had the chance also through early leadership development classes to realize that all of the things that great leaders do, they might sound like common sense or natural good things, right? To have vision, care about others, to communicate well, to connect, to manage conflict effectively, all of the things that great leaders do. But common sense may not always be common practice. And I found that through leadership development and having the opportunity to spend time in a classroom type environment with other adults, to learn materials in a safe place that allowed you to practice, in addition to self-awareness, then I became a lot more aware too of when I do and don't do the right things when faced with hard problems in the workplace. That was another kind of learning opportunity for me. There are many times where I fail myself in not handling a situation with what I know to be that common sense leadership approach and what we're supposed to do as good, strong leaders. And so common sense, common practice, two different things.
When I think of what NAFC invests in when it comes to leaders and leadership development, one of the phrases I hear is technical leadership. Mm-hmm. And then leading people. Are they different? Are they the same? What do you think?
Our leadership competencies take a lot of form, and you need to be adept at applying and practicing, modeling those competencies in whatever environment you find yourself in. So some of them are very transferable, have applicability regardless of your role in the organization. Others maybe are more inclined to whether you're leading work or people. When we set out to develop the program at Crane, we start with leading ourselves. So the Leading From Within program is all about self-awareness. It's where you first kind of find out about your own individual strengths. And what we help people to recognize in that program is that you're naturally good at some things. And instead of highlighting to you what you're not good at and asking you to go work on that and develop a plan to get better, is we focus on the things that you are really good at and help you to see how you can capitalize off of that for your own career and your own benefit, in addition to the benefit of the organization. And I think that's such an important concept, especially early in one's career, and something that I wish that I had had the benefit of knowing. I always felt like I had to be all things to all people. And
get the cape out and be Superwoman, right?
And, I guess that would lead me to a story that I love to tell. I spent, quite a bit of time working in corporate operations here at NSWC Crane. And when I first applied to be a department deputy, I was selected to be a department deputy, but instead of being selected to be the deputy in corporate operations, where I had spent so much of my time working, I was selected to be a deputy in global department, one of our technical, more production-oriented departments. And I worked for Ben Harkness, and I didn't know Ben that well. I had worked with him on a contract negotiation at one point with our local union, and that was about the extent of my experience in working with him. And after a short time being his deputy, he asked me if I knew why he selected me. And I said, I wasn't really sure. It was a little bit unprecedented to have a non-engineer in one of our technical department deputy roles. And he said that the time we spent working together on the union contract, that during that experience, there were multiple times where I took him off to the side. He was our lead negotiator for the management. And I said to him, hey, I think this is going on at the table. The union lead is trying to negotiate here, and you're dug in here because of a position that you have. And I think if we move a little bit in this direction, it meets his needs and it doesn't compromise what management needs out of this. And so he said that when I did that, that he so valued and appreciated that I could see things going on in the room and at that table that he couldn't see, and that my background and my experience was different than his. And he thought that working together, that I would make him stronger and vice versa. And that was really one of the first times here at Crane that I got the type of affirmation as an employee that what I had to offer was good. It was unique, it was different, and it would be enough. I didn't really have to be Ben. as the global deputy. I didn't have to go out there and transform myself into an engineering manager, which I never was. I needed to go out there and bring the best of what my experience and my background had to offer to their environment. And that's a very freeing moment. And as leaders, I think that we underestimate that impact that we can have on people. And so I try to tell that story regular and routinely and help leaders and all of us to understand that tremendous gift that we can give to other people by affirming the things that they do and that they do well and how they contribute to the organization and really instill confidence and build confidence in the people that we work with rather than, you know, highlighting the opportunities and tearing people down.
So there's not an ideal leader. There's strengths that each person brings forward. And from your story about you and Ben, it sounds like they were different strengths, but the overlap made the two of you together much stronger. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. It was a great experience. I was there for just over 3 years with him. I would go in to talk with him about things that I had, taken lead on for the two of us. We had a kind of a divide and conquer approach to the department. There were certain customers where I had lead, certain divisions, and vice versa. And so I remembered an early experience where I went in to talk with him about a decision that had been made that I supported. And he asked me a whole litany of questions that I couldn't answer. Hmm. And I supported the decision because of the extreme trust I had in the person who brought it to me. And I hadn't felt personally that need to really dissect their process for arriving at their recommendation. And so that was a stark difference between the two of us. And instead of letting that then lead to the divisions kind of coming to me because it was easier at times, what I did was I recognized that as much as I wanted him to learn from me and to maybe open his aperture to the way that I did things at times, I had to reciprocate. And I became better because of the model that he was for our department. And we found some kind of common and middle ground at times. And so I certainly put more structure to some of my decision-making process. I adopted a method to seek to further understand things so that I could accurately represent them. And so I was better for having worked with him. And the best part of that story is that after I was selected as Crane's technical director, Ben was within 24 months of retirement, actually within 16 months of retirement, in his department role, and I was going to have a vacancy in the deputy technical director position, and I offered that to him. And so where he gave me my first job as a department deputy supporting him, his final position at Crane was as the division deputy technical director supporting me. We went out as a team, so it was great. And so leading from within had a couple of objectives. It was to have an offering in that first 1 to 5 years of employment. And then we tightened the timeline from how we offered the leadership challenge over a 6-month period. We tightened the timeline of leading from within to a 6-week period so that we could increase the throughput and get more people through and not take 10 years to get 500 people through the program. And so I was a part of the curriculum design team. I was a facilitator for our first pilot class. And I continue to visit every one of our Leading From Within classes to talk to them either about organizational culture or values, my experience with leadership, whatever they need and wherever they need me in their agenda. But it's such a powerful program for us here at MSWC Crane. It's from the first class had a tremendous impact on some of the things that we do organizationally. It was the first pilot class, an employee, Orga Alberi is her name, and she told us how coming into work every day when she would hear Morning Colors, it was so impactful to her because she was in a high-stress environment and people didn't have the highest of morale, maybe, in the organization where she worked. They didn't always feel as valued and relevant as maybe some others do at Crane. And she talked about how Morning Colors just had this tremendous impact on her that would center her and remind her every day that we're really here to support the warfighter. And she would reflect on, veterans within her family. She might have had a son or daughter that was currently in the military. And so she told us this story, and it had such an impact on her classmates that the class kind of come together, and they wanted to make that a more prevalent part of employment. And so we've made it a more prevalent part of the Leading From Within program itself. We do Morning Colors together as a class and group on the second day of the first workshop. And now we do our Oath of Office with new hires on the heels of Morning Colors. And we tell the story about the flag and help people to understand what they're really become a part of here at Crane, and by joining the public service as a civil servant, rather than, contrasting that with being out working in private industry and maybe in some other area other than defense. So that's just a couple of examples. You know, when I talked about those values, I struggled a little bit with them. So let's talk about values for a minute. It was actually a leadership challenge program that the executive team went through in 2014 and 2015 that resulted in what is today Crane's stated organizational values that we put on a card and we hand out to all new employees, and that we all carry with us, with our CAT cards. And we went through this facilitated exercise to take, 50 or 60 values, words, and to neck that down to something that a team in place at the time of probably 12 or 13 of us could all come to consensus and feel great about this being Crane's organizational values. And that was not an easy process. That was not an easy exercise. Speaking from personal experience, I was one who said, oh, we don't need honesty and integrity. Those are the same kinds of things. And there were others who were as equally passionate about, oh, they're very different things, and we have to have both. That's the foundation that everything resides on. And so a lot of spirited debate about every word that ended up on Crane's values card. Again, I'll mention that, coming out of that session, at first we were coming up with values that our team was going to subscribe to and how we aspirationally wanted to treat each other and to work together. And so we went through a process to a very engineering-like process to operationalize the values. So for each of the six words that we chose, we came up with two behaviors that we agreed would be illustrative of how we would, the actions we would take that would convey those values. And true to our engineering roots as an organization, we developed a spreadsheet, and we were all making check marks and putting them up on the wall, and then talking about where we did or didn't model behavior that exhibited our values. And so when I talked about the passing judgment on others by looking at the values card rather than holding ourselves accountable, those were things that from the earliest days of that discussion with Crane's executive team that we were focused on. And then it just grew from there. We saw clear alignment between Crane's values and the Navy's core values of honor, courage, and commitment. We did some mapping of them and can tell the story of how honor being that foundation of trust, we equated that to honesty and integrity from our card. When we talked about courage, so courage is the hard thing. That's where we put empowerment and solutions, and commitment from the Navy core values perspective, we put in the middle with service and unity, and being able to really drive our organization forward by recognizing through service the common ground we all have and why we're here together. Unity being how we come with our own perspectives, our own priorities, and our own experiences and backgrounds, and we drive to understand and listen to others so that we can be unified moving forward. And then it's when you're unified and aligned towards the vision that you can truly empower the workforce because it's vectored in the right way. And that's what leads us to deliver on all of those great solutions that we're providing to warfighters. So we develop that story in alignment with our values and honor, courage, and commitment for the Navy.
As you described your early career and the leadership development and the 360, and then your experience going out into a technical department, I'm hearing a journey. I'm hearing you didn't take one class and say, this is who Dr. well, at the time, not even Dr. who Angie Lewis is going to be as a leader. And so you had to learn over time. If I was your mentee, if we were sitting here and having a conversation and you were mentoring me and I'm having some trouble deciding what direction to take my career, you know, maybe I'm a branch head or maybe I'm a division head and I'm thinking about being a department head or a technical manager or something like that. And I know that leadership is key. What would your experience, what could you pour into me when it comes to your experience?
That's a great question. I do talk to groups of employees who are seeking to figure out the path. Should it be a technical path, a subject matter expertise? Should it be process focused, like a chief engineer or the management of people and work in supervision? For everyone who wants to be a section manager, branch manager, division head, deputy department or department head, I always emphatically say, if you don't like people and relationships and understanding what people are going through, that's probably not the right path. So that's not exactly where you asked me to start, but I just want to say that because we have a lot of avenues now for high grade, highly relevant leadership roles across the organization, and they don't all require the management of people, which allows us then this opportunity to really cultivate the relationship, people-focused skills of those who decide to lead our people. And I know you get involved with training and interacting with a lot of them. Another thing I would say that has always served me well, I've always been willing to work hard, to do things that other people didn't want to do, and willing to take on challenges, even if they weren't on the plan or the path that I would have naturally assumed or expected. We don't do as much lateral movement of people around and across the organization as we did 20 years ago when I was kind of at that stage and navigating my career. But it does still happen. And I think what we have tried to plug in lieu of that is a real appreciation for detail assignments, rotations, developmental opportunities, mentoring, coaching. And so I would encourage anyone who's trying to navigate their career path to take advantage of those things that are available. Your network cannot be large enough. There's, no jobs that don't require collaboration and working across organizational boundaries. So being relationship centered is important, regardless of the pathway that you choose. And I continue today to seek my own development and to continue that. Leadership isn't about a role to me. It really is something that you can exhibit throughout all aspects of your life and at all roles in this organization. We have a tremendous mission here at NSWC Crane, delivering capability into the hands of warfighters. And I've always known that and believed it and found a lot of kind of passion and commitment that comes from being a part of this organization. But maybe never more than today do I realize how relevant and needed that is. The world is a big place and it's full of a lot of dynamic actors right now. And the national defense is reliant upon what NSWC Crane provides and what the NAVC enterprise provides to our Navy and to our nation. We need everyone's best. Leadership isn't reserved for those people at the top. It's not reserved for supervisors. It is really a skill set, just like tying your shoes. You have to practice to get good at it. So when you seek out opportunities for development, It is about practicing and learning, listening, hearing what others are doing and what's going on, and figuring out how to make the best decisions or to have the most impact resulting from what you figure out about what's going on around you. It's been great to talk to you today. Thanks so much for spending some time with me and having given me an opportunity to reflect on a great career that I've had at Crane, and hopefully just some of the things that I can offer, will be helpful to someone.
I'm sure that they will be. As you said, leadership is a journey, and you don't have to have a formal role to be in it. And that's really what this whole thing is about, is having conversation with people who have been there, who've done that, who are ready to tell their stories and pour themselves into others. So thank you for doing that today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining this episode of the Fuel Podcast, brought to you by NAVSEA's Propel Leadership Development Program. For more information about Propel, visit the Propel Wiki page. Thanks for adding fuel to propel your journey.